In the name of Jesus, amen. Please be seated. Happy Ascension Day. Well, actually, it was last Thursday, but there weren't very many of us here, and so I knew that ahead of time, and I thought I would just postpone it until today. So, happy Ascension Day. The gospel lesson for Ascension Day from St. Luke tells us a very strange thing. Jesus leaves, and the disciples return to Jerusalem with great joy. Mega joy, in fact. They are happy, giddy that Jesus is gone. Which leads to the question, why? I find saying goodbye to someone I love rather hard. One of my little grandsons can hardly bear saying goodbye, it's so traumatic. So why does it bring such great joy to the disciples? Or maybe they were just glad to get out from underneath his watchful eye. You know, when the cat's away, the mice can play. Kind of like when you dropped your kid off at college and he had the exact opposite reaction that he had when you dropped him off at kindergarten. Yeah. Finally, Jesus is gone and we can do what we want. No more Jesus pointing out our sins. No more Jesus quoting scripture at us. No more Jesus embarrassing us by associating with all the wrong kinds of people. Samaritan women, tax collectors, sinners, and saying inappropriate things. But that's not why the disciples returned to Jerusalem with great joy. They were filled with joy because the Lord had given them great promises before he ascended. He promised that he would send the Holy Spirit to be with them, the Comforter, the Counselor. He promised that they would be clothed with power from on high. He lifted up his hands and blessed them. They were going back to Jerusalem with great joy because they weren't going back to Jerusalem empty-handed. They were going back with hearts full of joy, lives full of hope, and minds full of promises. They were going back full of promise because standing right in front of them before he ascended, Jesus made a commitment to them. He made them this promise: I will be with you always to the close of the age. I will be with you always. In other words, he promised that he wasn't going anywhere. But wait a minute. Yes, he did. He did go somewhere. He ascended into a cloud. He ascended to the heavens. Well, yes, he did. But this was no ordinary cloud. And because of this cloud, his promise still holds true. Though in heaven, he's still with his disciples. So let me tell you about this cloud. There are various words in the scriptures that when you run across them, you should slow down and take a look around. For example, when mountains are mentioned, stop and look around. In God's word, important events, important things are said on mountains. Mountains like Sinai and Carmel and Moriah and the Sermon on the Mount and the Mount of Transfiguration and Golgotha and Zion and the great high mountain from which the Spirit showed John the holy city Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God. Whenever mountains are mentioned, stop and take a look around. And when trees are mentioned or water, stop and take a look around. And clouds, too. When Jesus was lifted up and a cloud took him out of their sight, this was no ordinary cloud. And you'll see that if you stop and take a look around. Most clouds come and go, a product of water vapor and columns of rising air cooling at 3.5 degrees per 1,000 feet of altitude until the air mass becomes saturated. But not this cloud. This cloud, strange to say, of a cloud, has a past. Imagine that. A cloud with a past. A cloud that goes way back, all the way back to when the children of Israel were rescued from bondage in Egypt. And that cloud, which is found throughout the Bible, is nothing less than the visible manifestation of God's abiding presence. That's important. So I'm going to say it again. The cloud, which is found throughout the Bible, is nothing less than the visible manifestation of God's abiding presence. Think about this cloud. It was this pillar of cloud that led Israel out of Egypt. It was this pillar of cloud that protected the children of Israel from Pharaoh's chariots. It was from this pillar of cloud that God spoke to Moses at Sinai. It was this pillar of cloud that first filled the tabernacle and later Solomon's temple with God's great glory. It was this cloud that hid itself out over the Mediterranean Sea as Baal's prophets tried to wake their sleeping deity on Mount Carmel. And when they had exhausted themselves trying to get Baal to show up, this cloud of God's presence raced ashore, the heavens growing black with cloud and wind, and God rained his appearance on Israel. From this cloud, Ezekiel saw the gleaming glory of God. As I looked, Ezekiel wrote, "Behold, a stormy wind came out of the north, and a great cloud with brightness all around it, and flashing fire forth continually. And in the midst of the fire, as it were, a gleaming metal." And when Israel finally refused to repent, it was this pillar of cloud that passed over the threshold of the temple on his way out, announcing the dreadful fact: God has left the building. And Judah stands alone. Vanish, this cloud did, for hundreds of years, until it reappeared at Jesus' transfiguration. And from this ancient cloud, God the Father thundered, "This is my Son with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." This cloud, this glory, this abiding presence of the living God with his people was often referred to as the Shekinah glory of God. And this cloud will show itself once again when you see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory at the end of time. Just because Jesus ascended into a cloud doesn't mean that Jesus has gone away. In fact, it means the very opposite. Just as this cloud was Israel's guarantee of God's abiding presence with them, this cloud is the guarantee of Jesus' abiding presence with you. Jesus ascending into this cloud marks for us his entry into the realm of God, which we can neither understand nor measure with our puny thoughts and our limited experiences. We can't push our little measuring tapes up into that cloud and say how things have to go on there. They go on as God says. And that's the way with Jesus now. Jesus didn't travel millions of miles like a space rocket. He rose up a little way above the earth, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Out of their sight. All that was gone was their sight of him. That's all. The cloud simply means that he's no longer within our ordinary limits. He's no longer bound by what binds us. Jesus is now present and does things in the whole range of God's way of being present and doing things while remaining a man, but a man glorified. Our reason isn't going to be able to comprehend, let alone get a handle on him, but know this for certain. He did not go away. He was still with his disciples as he promised. That they knew. That they believed. And that's why they returned to Jerusalem with great joy. Because he hadn't gone anywhere. He was with them as he promised. And he's with you too. Jesus hasn't gone away from you either. Now, I'll grant that sometimes it might feel like it because, well, we can't see him. It might feel like Jesus is no longer with you as you struggle with life. It might feel like Jesus is no longer with you when you can't make ends meet. When, try as you may, your marriage is dissolving right before your eyes. When your kids are in trouble. When you're in trouble. When your body aches and pains. It might feel like Jesus is no longer with you when you wrestle with the challenges of being a parent or having one. It might feel like Jesus is no longer with you when nothing seems to be going right anymore, when the glitter has come off the golden years, when you can't keep up anymore, when it becomes harder and harder to believe. But trust me. Trust me because he says so, not because I do. He's not far off. He's with you today in most incredible, extraordinary ways. He speaks his word to you. You can't see him, but he speaks. True, he speaks his holy, precious law into your ears, words that are hard to hear, words that cut like a knife, words that rightly judge, but why? All so that we will see our sin and repent. All so that we will come to realize that even while we were and still are lost, dead, broken sinners, his forgiveness reached down even that far to us. To you, into the chaos that is your life. It's one thing to talk about forgiveness academically, just the facts, ma'am. Announce forgiveness detached, talk about it from a million miles away, kind of like the way we help the homeless and the refugee from as far away as we can. It's another thing for Jesus to invade your sinful life, resist. You're pushing him away and wrapping his compassionate arms around you while he whispers in your ears, I forgive you. And that's what he's done. Invade your life, he does. With a forgiveness he purchased for you by his Good Friday dying on the cross, his blood shed atoning for you. And a forgiveness he's won the right to declare when alone and unaided and abandoned even by you to fight your fight himself alone, he stands as your eternal champion, the valiant one whom God himself elected on the bloody field of Golgotha, victorious for you. I forgive you, he tells you over and over, here and here. And here, again and again, he tells you. And that forgiveness can change you. God be praised, that forgiveness will change you. Jesus stoops as low as he can, infiltrating things as simple as sound waves vibrating eardrums and water dripping off your head and common bread and cheap wine. All so that he may be with you and in you and reign over you from the always present everywhere right hand of the Father with his grace and his mercy, with his love and protection, with his salvation from death and hell. Our gracious Lord doesn't wait for you to perfect yourself. He sees you entangled in the deadly nets of sin, and he comes to meet you and liberate you from the grip of this terrible enemy. He comes to meet you when you were at your very worst. For when he was crucified, there you were, along with me and the rest of the human race, at our utmost worst. It's one thing to be under a cloud. It's another thing to be in one. That's why I've always been jealous of pilots. Jesus promises you this, that because he has entered the cloud, so will you. Just as Jesus' death is your death and his resurrection is your resurrection, so also his ascension means your ascension into his kingdom, your entrance by his grace into the glory of heaven forever. That's why the disciples returned to Jerusalem with great joy. Far from Jesus leaving them, everything about that day pointed to the fact that he would be, as he promised, with them always to the close of the age. And that's why we can rejoice today as well. I'll leave you with this one unbiblical thought. If the flood's rainbow is God's promise never to swamp the earth again, next time you look up and see a cloud, let that cloud remind you that even on your gloomiest days, your Jesus, your Lord, your Redeemer, your Valiant One, your Champion, your Mighty Defender, your great Shekinah glory has promised to be with you. And not only with you, but before you as well. And the promise of the angels to the disciples is his promise to you. And he will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven and take you to be with him forever. That's his promise to you, a promise that brings great joy. In the name of Jesus, amen. Let us now confess our